Jericho. I'm calling for a holy war of prayer and preaching of the cross to pull down the strongholds of Satan. For Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy, without spot or wrinkle, by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up, tall and straight, be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God.
I have the world to offer you.
Yes, you have the world to hold, till the day when God declares time on earth shall be no more. Fire and brimstone shall rain down and melt it like the snow. What will you have to offer then to a dying soul?
Think of all you're giving up.
I'm giving up the chance to die, spend eternity in hell, burning in a lake of fire. I thank God he's made a way that I might escape. By the living grace of God I shall see his face.
But you don't sin, you're good enough.
There's not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
But what about the friends you lose?
There may be some that don't agree. They may say that I'm a fool, but they don't have to stand for me. Jesus said he'd be my friend and he'd walk with me, and he'd never leave my side throughout eternity.
But life will be too dull for you.
Everything you've offered me don't mean nothing to my heart, for from sin I've been set free. Praise the Lord, I'm going home ever to rejoice. Take this world and get behind, I have found peace of mind. Everlasting joy is mine, Jesus is my choice.
I have been teaching on the gifts of the Spirit and the power of the Holy Ghost. For the Bible teaches us in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, once we have established our salvation and once we know the doctrines of salvation, we need to move on and go move on in the work of the Lord. For God has given us a commission to go into all the world and preach the gospels. And he has given us the gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit to fulfill that commission. For in our flesh we cannot do it. We fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, rulers, and powers of darkness. And once we have established what gift God has given us, to some he may give quite a few gifts of the Spirit. For the Bible teaches us there are prophets, there are teachers, there are evangelists, there are workers of miracles, there are workers of healings, there is faith and there is wisdom. The Bible teaches us we need all that to help one another, to work in the ministry of the Lord. Once we have established that, once we know where we stand with that, and I believe that's quite a chore, we need to seek out the Holy Spirit and we need to pursue these things. But once we have established that and have started to walk in the power and the gifts of the Spirit, the Bible teaches us that we need to walk a holy godly and virtuous life. For when you study the Apostle Paul on how he admonishes the Corinthians, it seemed like that they had forgotten that they need to walk holy before the Lord, and the Apostle Paul had to really come down hard on them. And he taught them on how the gifts of the Spirit were supposed to be used, but he also told them that they were not living righteous, godly lives. Some of them were so promiscuous that one lived with his father's wife in an adulterous relationship. Some of them were dying prematurely. They were sick because of the way they lived. So the Apostle Paul teaches us that once we have established all those things, there is an accountability and there is a responsibility. And we need to understand that we have to walk in holiness before God with these gifts and with that power. For if we are given those gifts and if we have that power, there lies a big responsibility, and every Christian needs to understand that. And today I will teach on what God expects from us once we have established those things and have started to walk in this great commission. But before we get into this message, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I come before you, and I pray, Lord, that you will anoint this message. You will open the hearts of those that are listening so that they will understand and seek these things out for themselves. I thank you, O God, for the direction. I thank you for the word of God that you have given us. In Jesus' name, amen. In the second epistle of Peter, Simon Peter, there are some interesting scriptures found in the first chapter. God is admonishing us through the apostle Simon Peter on how to live. It tells us in chapter 1, verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him, he has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So here he is clearly describing what the Lord wants from us. He teaches us here that we have received that divine power that he has given us. He also expects us that we might be takers, partakers of the divine nature that God has. That is very interesting, that a person who has been created by God should receive the power of God and should also receive the divine nature of God. It is something that we have to seek out. This is what the Apostle Peter is teaching us here, that we need to seek out that divine nature once we have received the power and the gifts of the Holy Ghost. So this is what is expected of every Christian. And when we study the book of the Corinthians, the Apostle Paul really comes down hard on them because they were practicing the gifts of the Spirit, but for some reason they had neglected that they are the recipients of the divine nature of Jesus Christ, and they need to live a godly life before him so that people will see that they are of God. And when we study these things, we have to look on to ourselves. How do we live? What are we and where are we going? What is our great responsibility? First of all, if you seek the authority that the Word of God gives us, then you need to understand with that authority comes responsibility. God wants us to understand that so that we will not fall. Because over the years, I have watched great ministers of God reaching incredible heights in the power of God, reaching the world for Christ through their preaching and signs and wonders that followed them. But afterwards, it seems like they had forgotten that they have to live a virtuous and godly life. And many ministries and many godly people have been brought down by the power of Satan because God simply had to take his protecting hand of them because they did not live godly, virtuous lives. Scripture teaches us in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, that we have to give all diligence to add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. That word charity means love. For it tells us, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a very clear description by God that if we live that virtuous, godly life, then we will have knowledge of the things of God and we will not fail or fall. The Bible is very clear when it comes to godly living. And I have a feeling this is the problem with many ministers of the gospel. Once God elevates them up to a certain position, many become careless and start living promiscuous lives. They seem to allow the devil to come in with certain temptations that they cannot control and that they have no power over. And then when the time comes, Satan brings them down and causes great mockery in the church of Jesus Christ. So here is the warning. We have to learn to be temperate. That means modest. We have to operate modestly in everything. We have to be patient and we have to be very godly. And with godliness comes brotherly kindness, and with brotherly kindness comes love one towards another. This is the call of our Lord Jesus Christ to every one of his children, because the reason is he is so saddened and grieved when one of his children is taken down by Satan through a promiscuous lifestyle. The Bible teaches us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that many die prematurely because they don't live right. Many are sickly because they don't live right. It seems that this is not bad enough. God has to allow some to be openly mocked by the whole world because of their downfalls. God is warning us, let us live a godly, virtuous life before him, and the protection of the Holy Spirit will be with us. It tells us in verse 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind. He cannot see afar off and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. Many even forget their walk with God, and they forget that the Lord Jesus Christ has cleansed them from all their unrighteousness. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. What a promise the Word of God has here. It tells us if we lead godly lives, if we seek a relationship with Him and live a lifestyle that is pleasing to Him, it tells us we shall never fall. That's the promise that God gives us. Regardless how Satan will try to bring you down, if we live godly lives before our Savior, we will be protected from all the tricks and wiles of the devil. It tells us, "For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly, unto the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Even before we get into heaven, we will be ministered into the kingdom of God. We will understand and start to live as if we were in heaven already. Yes, that's the promise that God is giving us. He wants us to live a holy life before Him. He has empowered us with the power of the Holy Spirit. He has given us the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But He wants us to have a life that is controlled by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we need to bring every evil thought into subjection and live for Him as if we are going to see Him today yet. This is my advice to everyone. I expect the rapture at any moment. I expect to see my Savior Jesus Christ coming in the clouds at any second. The Bible teaches in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ shall be raised, and we which are alive shall be changed. It could happen in a split second, and we need to live accordingly. And if you will have that in mind, then I can guarantee you that you will try to live a pleasing life to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And for those of you who don't know the Lord, we are heading for some grievous times. It will get darker and darker in the natural world. The financial problems will become worse and worse as the economical system will fail. Everybody needs to turn to the Lord, because He is the only safe place that we know for sure that exists. And if you don't turn to Jesus, the horrors of the lake of fire are just around the corner. Many, many people who are just nonchalant about the whole thing will spend their eternity cursing themselves for being so foolish and for being so totally idiotic of not turning to the Lord when they had that window of time. That window of time can be very short. For some, it's 90 years. For some, it's barely 15 years. But you have a window of time to come to the knowledge of the truth, to come to the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and receive a crown of righteousness, where you then will be allowed to spend the eternities with our Lord and Savior in the heavenly portals of glory. Yes, that's what the Bible promises us. So turn to Jesus today. Give Him your life and heart, and you will become a blessing to yourself. The Lord open your heart to this truth and make you a blessing.
Spirit is happy, I'm anchored at last, I'm anchored.
heavenly came to pilot my storm-beaten soul. Sweet peace he has spoken, oh bless his dear name, the billows no longer roll.
The danger, the tempest forever is o'er, my anchor is holding, I'm saved evermore. What gladness,
started out as a Christian years ago, one of my first priorities was to read the Word of God and to have a prayer group around me all the time. And that was very, very challenging. The Word of God you can read, you can understand, and the Lord will give you great insights over time. But to keep a prayer group around you has its challenges. People come and people go. There are some who are going to stay with you for a long time and then leave, but there are always some that'll stay regardless what and where things are going. And when you study the Word of God, you can begin to see the incredible things that God has in store for them that want to serve Him. And Christians need to see that. They need to understand that. To study the Word of God and to pray is the most important thing for a Christian to do. If you have a family to raise, it is very important to have a prayer life and to stay in the Word of God. And if there is a ministry that God wants you to go into, you need to definitely keep seeking the face of the Lord. For these things don't come easy. There's going to be things that the devil is going to throw against you that sometimes seem very, very impossible to overcome. But if you keep persistent and keep walking in holiness before God, I'm not saying you're not going to fall. The Lord will lead you in a path that you have never expected to see, because there are great things in store for the child of the Lord who is expecting great things. The Word of God teaches us on how to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. The Word of God teaches us on how to live a godly life. And the Word of God teaches us that we need to pray without ceasing. But the most important thing that I would recommend for every Christian is to find out whether he is saved. I mean, get to know whether your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, because this life has trials and tribulations, and this life will test your faith. There is a scripture found in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14, that stuck to me all through my Christianity. It tells us, "For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified." What does this scripture mean? It simply means that through the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, that one offering, he has perfected forever them that will turn to him for salvation. So once you turn to the Lord for salvation, once you accept him as your Lord and Savior, you then become perfect. It tells us, "For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified." How long will your perfection last? It tells us here, forever. So throughout the eternities, you will stay perfect in the eyes of God because of the blood of Jesus that has been placed upon you. This is the most important thing that a person needs to understand, is to make sure he knows where he stands with God. Because even if you do fail in your ministry, even if you do fall in whatever you're doing, once you know that you know you're saved, you will not lose hope. There are many ministries who have been brought down by Satan himself, and they have become a mere shadow of what they used to be. When you listen to those preachers who have been taken down by Satan, when you listen to their testimonies afterwards, you can see the joy on their faces. Even though the church has rejected them, even though the world has simply made a mockery of them, they have that assurance in their hearts that they still belong to God. This is something every child of God needs to seek after, because no one knows how or when he will be brought down, because people are careless and they will sometimes fall, as we see many doing that. But if you know that you know that you have been perfected in Christ, regardless what happens, the joy of the Lord will still remain in your heart. So seek out your assurance of salvation today, and the Lord will open your heart to a great blessing. Amen.
Oh, dear friends, this sinful world is lost and every Christian's heart is burdened down with care. Tell me, are you doing all you can for Jesus? Are you traveling down the avenue of prayer? Keep your faith in your heart consecrated.
As they're being led to the tempter's snare, would you stand aside and see a losing battle? Are you traveling down the avenue of prayer?
Keep your faith in your heart consecrated.
Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbach, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbach, Manitoba, R5G1M2.